anger and resentment, which are really the same thing, are the fundamental cause of our suffering and is the suffering itself. To feel anger, to resent someone, oneself, the world, feels like burning. If you notice, when people get angry, they start taking off their clothes because they get hot. And they're quite literally almost burning in hell. That's not peace. And every single action done in anger, done in resentment, results in regret and suffering. Take a look at any road rage incident. Is there ever anything to approve of or only to regret? And anger, resentment, comes from two things. One, the idea that there is such a thing as evil, that people know what they're doing and they know it's wrong and that they do it anyway. And so the other political party, half the country, people at the workplace, in our own family, become evil because we know for a fact that they know what they're doing and they choose to do bad. They choose to be bad. But I want to disprove that today. And if we can't see evil, we cannot be angry at it. All actions that are generally considered as evil are in reality actions that result from misguidedness. Every single human being is born as an innocent baby. There's not a single one that's born an adult evil man. It's never happened. It's never going to happen. And so the question is not, is there such a thing as evil? Because evil is something that we're born like that. Either you're evil or you're not. It's an othering. We call evil people monsters. Monsters are not humans, meaning they're born that way. Or they get that way. But as soon as we admit that someone gets that way and is not born that way, we have to admit that we're all equal in the fact that we are born as innocent little babies, children. And so the question is not, does evil exist? The question is, how do we become misguided? What happens between the interim of birth and the time the person becomes whatever they become and they make whatever mistakes, whatever bad deeds that they make? And look anywhere in history, read any biography that you would like. If you look into it deep enough, you will see that not a single person who has ever been considered evil thought that they were doing evil. They were always either protecting themselves or saving their country, saving their religion, bringing good to the world. They might admit that their means seem very harsh and are very violent. But that's where we get that saying from. The ends will justify the means. They have that belief. Look at any so-called evil person. They have this very belief that their ends will justify their means and that everyone will at the end see that they were right all along, that they had to implore some harsh methods. And it really didn't look like they were doing the right thing, the good thing that is for everyone. But that if we wait long enough, if their plan had worked, that everyone would have seen what they were really after, and everyone would have understood, and everyone would have approved. And certainly we ourselves, at any given moment in our lives, are misguided about something, and perhaps multiple things. But we don't know it. If we knew it, we wouldn't do it. And it's the same with every other person. They didn't know any better. And yes, it was their responsibility to know better. They're adults and they're responsible for their actions, no matter if they arise from misguidedness or from full intention. However, fact is, they didn't know any better. And we didn't know any better. And we right now don't know any better. And we all know what that feels like. We all know what that is like. And I want to demonstrate this exact thing. If you have to watch till the end of the video, you can't, if you cut me off, if this argument is cut off, we can't expect to get anywhere. So if you invest just these minutes into this, not hours, minutes, we will get somewhere here. And I will explain this first cause of anger, which is the cause of suffering, by the second cause of anger. The second thing that we need to give up after the notion of evil is caring about things. We think that it's good to be a caring person, and we look to receive care from others also. But let me show you this. This is the word origin of the word care. It comes from the Proto-Germanic caro, meaning lament, grief, which became caru in Old English, meaning sorrow, anxiety, burdens of the mind. And Shakespeare even wrote about this. He says, care keeps his watch in every old man's eye, and where care lodges, sleep will never lie. So whenever we say that we are caring people, that we care for things, and that we deserve care in return, what we're really saying is that we are looking for sorrow, grief, anxiety, burdens of the mind, and that we are looking to be that very sorrow, anxiety, and burden of the mind to others. So when we say, I care about things, I'm a caring person, I'm a loving person, we do it only to feel better about ourselves. We do it to prove to ourselves that we are worth something. We give care only to become worthy of receiving it. First of all, we think that care is a good thing, not knowing the real nature of care. And so, of course, because we think it is a good thing, we give it and we ask for it. Why wouldn't we give and ask for a good thing? But truth is, everything we care about, we protect. And everything we protect by fighting for it. We fight for it when we're voting. We fight for it when we're discussing with friends. We fight for it when we try to convince our families. We fight for it when we try to prove something to our friends, to the world, on social media, when we try to prove something to ourselves. That's what cares are. They are burdens of the mind. They are the source of all our anxiety. And anything we protect, we fight for, and anything we fight for has an enemy. So cares are what make us see enemies. Without cares, we wouldn't have enemies. In other words, without burdens, we wouldn't have enemies. Because no one would be trying to take anything from us. And we would see that burdens, worries, anxieties are illusions. If we care about one thing and another person doesn't care about the other thing, and they seem to be just fine, and vice versa, we see that they care about something that we don't care about, and we say, why would you care about something like that? Why is that so important to you? What does that really do to you, for you? How does that serve you? It doesn't. but they can't see it. They don't know any better. Just like that, we were misguided. We thought caring was loving, when in fact, it was pushing sorrow, anxiety, and a burden of the mind to others, and that we were acquiring those things for ourselves, thinking that we were acquiring and giving good things to the world and to ourselves. This is philosophy, translated directly as, from the Greek, the love of wisdom. Wisdom only being everything that enables us to live a good life, to live well and to die well. And to learn to live well is to learn to die well. And to learn to die well is to learn to live well. If you have a peaceful death with nothing to regret when you look back, no anxieties, no burdens left, then that also means that you had a good life. And vice versa, if you learn to have a good life, you will receive a good death, a peaceful death. And if we don't have 5 minutes a day to devote to this, then we're in a sorry state indeed. And we think that 5 minutes is not enough. But 5 minutes of looking at the world in this way, of stripping everything away that stands between us and peace and freedom and serenity and meaning and happiness, is what makes the whole day worth living. Don't we remember those days where we even had a moment of bliss? It made the whole day worth living? We didn't say, oh, that's just a second or two. What can that do? Or why should I pursue that? A second or two of bliss made our whole day worth living. So imagine what 5 minutes of reading the writings of a friend, and I call all the books behind me writings of friends because they were intended to strip away these veils in front of our eyes and to make us see the true nature of suffering, the true cause of it, and the true method to eliminate it. Someone like that I call a friend. I don't know what you would call it. I think you would do the same thing. What better friend than that? This is the most accessible, simple, beautiful, meaningful thing to do with however much time you have for it. However, it needs to be a practice. It needs to be a way of life. Even if it's 5 minutes a day, it needs to be a practice. And every step of the way is its own reward. There is no such thing as we do with everything else in the world, where we have to toil and toil and toil for years and spend tens of thousands of dollars to receive something that was not that valuable after all. 5 minutes of this makes the whole day worth living. The reward is immediate. Each step is its own reward. It is for this very purpose that I started this channel. And it's for this very reason that I started a newsletter full of reading recommendations, quotes from the friends behind me, poetry, thought-provoking ideas, word of the week, which is what we just did with the word care. Every single week we do that with another word. And so if you want to bring philosophy in your life, all you have to do is to open a book, open an email, and let it in your life. Make the room and the space, and it will flow into it itself. So I encourage you to sign up for it on the website, or there's a link below. And if you want a book recommendation to start with, where you have to have no worries about it being complicated or inaccessible, and where you can just devote a few minutes of reading and read an entire chapter, an entire idea, an entire thought, I recommend to you that you read Seneca's Letter on ethics. I'll show it to you right here. This is full of simple letters that Seneca, the ancient Stoic philosopher, wrote to his friend. And in each one, he draws his attention to something that will alleviate his suffering that he didn't know before, to show him that he was misguided about something and how he can change that. And you will become that friend that he's writing to. You will feel his presence. And each letter only takes a few minutes to read. The excuses are diminishing. And the new day is coming.